Okay, so we're seeing the main purpose of teaching and everything that's based on teaching God's Word is to mature us, and that keeps us from deception. Okay, so you see what it produces. If you're, when the Word uses babe and child, okay, four words you can write down, and then you'll understand why we have to have teaching and why we have to mature. One word Paul uses sometimes is, I would that you not be ignorant. It means you don't know. So a baby doesn't know certain things, and he has to be fed and taught. The other word is untaught. Simply means the same thing. You know, you don't have the ability. You have not been equipped properly to work ministry or to understand what's going on in the spirit realm. You haven't understood what the purpose of his call is individually, what he wants of us, and where our duty lies. Inexperienced. See, the person that's not mature has no experience in spiritual things. And see, you can apply this to the natural realm. You understand what we're talking about. If you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer, you don't stop being a doctor. You don't walk into the college and immediately go operate on somebody's brain. You know? Or if you're a lawyer, you don't take a multi-billion dollar lawsuit and try to work it just because you said, well, I'm learning the law. It doesn't work that way, does it? And it doesn't in the spiritual kingdom. Okay? And if you're inexperienced, Paul says you are a novice. And a novice is not a person that's becoming a nun. That's a deceived person. A novice, Paul said, you do not put in places of authority. And anybody teaching God's Word has put themselves in a place of authority. And James says, not many of you should become teachers because we shall receive the stricter judgment. See, the novice and the babe doesn't understand that once he opens his mouth, he's put himself under a stricter judgment by God. When he's taken it upon himself to instruct people and God has not called him or equipped him, he's in a dangerous position. Because he's not only damaging himself, he's damaging somebody else. And I've had people come up to this meeting, which I've been doing this now, this time for 5 years, and they didn't like the teaching, and they didn't like the simple teaching. And then we find out 3 weeks later, they're teaching in some dead church on the gifts of the Spirit. They don't even know what it means to be a Christian or mature. You've got idiots listening to them. And so they're saying idiots. Jesus said, when the blind lead the blind, what happens to them? They both fall in the ditch. So you don't need a deceived person. Many deceivers, many imposters are not wolves in the sense they don't know themselves that they're deceived. Jesus accused the Pharisees of this. They were zealous for religion. And he says, you'll go to the ends of the earth to make one convert. And so do a lot of religious fanatics. And then teach them the same damnable teachings they believe. Jesus said, make them twice the hell you are. What good is it? And then at the day of judgment, you'll answer to God for misleading that soul and your own sin. See, that's why he warned. Okay, so the object of maturity, so we will not be ignorant, means we will know, we'll be taught properly, we'll have experience. So you say, oh, where does this come in? Experience comes through the trials when God starts to test your loyalty. And many come to him with joy. Remember, that was the first group. And when trials and tribulations come because of the Word of God, it means the Word in their life has to be put into practice, and they can't just hear it. They have to put it into practice. And if they don't, they're going to be deceived. And it says, and they will fall away, for they have no root in them. They didn't drink the milk of the Word. They didn't go deep and get a grip and prepare to grow and mature because the storm's coming. And it says they'll be washed away. They'll fall away because they have no root in them. The milk did not lead them to maturity. They dried up and they died. But they came to the Lord. They started off okay. So all of us start off babes, but we can't stay there. Just for briefly, so you'll understand the new people. I don't know if I've done this in a long time, but at least you'll have it. Since I've taught you what teaching is and what the ministry's for, this is my job here. I can only tell you what God's called me to do with the Word. And so you'll have an understanding of what I'm responsible for. I'm called to teach and exhort. And everybody who comes up here, I'm accountable for you to some degree, especially what I teach you. So I take it very seriously. It can cost me my soul. So I want people up here, I don't care if you're a baby Christian or you've been in the Lord for 50 years and you may know more than I know. Then my job is to remind you of what you already know. See, that's the sign of maturity. We need to be reminded a lot. Oh, we know a lot. Sometimes we forget to put it into practice and we need someone. And sometimes a babe can reprove us and correct us because they can see sometimes what we've forgotten because we thought we were past that. Sometimes we're not. And that's when God humbles us. He takes a foolish child sometime and says something and we're sort of taken back. Well, sometimes it ain't the person, it's God saying something. See, that's when he can do the exception. You know. But see, my job is to teach and exhort, and hopefully God gives what I call inspiration or prophecy. That's what prophecy is. But yours is to be serious-minded and not to fight the truth if it's the truth, and to study the Scripture. And not believe everything I tell you. Even if it bears witness, go back as the Bereans did and study what the Scripture says. Because you may get more than I taught you. I may have just opened your eyes in that area. You can go deeper. You may excel in an area I can't. See? Many people had teachers and they superseded their teacher, didn't they? See, if I can equip you properly, then you may be a missionary evangelist one day, which I'm not. And you may be the one God uses for something he hasn't called me for. But if I didn't do my job, you couldn't do yours. See? And we'll share when God gives out the rewards of what we did and how we edified and built up. See, that's my job. So all I require is that you be serious. And if you're not serious, don't come. Don't waste my time. Don't waste God's time. And don't waste your own time. If you're not interested in the Bible, stay home. And that's why I encourage you, bring your Bible. And if you don't know where all the Scriptures are, don't be so proud. Just stay in the book we're teaching on. We'll be in Peter soon. And I know I jump around, and some stay with me and some don't. Write them down and go look at them later. But at least stay in the book I'm in. Because you're going to have to study to show yourself approved. You know. So what I'm saying is, in polite terms, is I don't want people sashaying in and sashaying out. And floating in and floating out, and they're not really interested in going on with God. They're up here for any other reason. You have no business up here. If you want fellowship, you can meet individually. And I don't mind you having it when I'm finished teaching. But that's not the purpose of why I'm here. I'm accountable to God for what I'm teaching you. So that's the only two. And I'm going to give you one more requirement I've never given before, but I think it'll help us out. Before you invite someone up here, and if you invite anyone up here, and that's fine that you do this, because of experience, and because we're taping now, give them a tape. Give them one of my tapes, and make them listen to it. And you can pretty well tell they'll either want to come or they won't. And you'll save your time and trouble and a lot of other stuff. Because let me tell you, when they listen to me for 90 minutes, they're going to say, I don't want nothing to do with that, or maybe I need to be up there. Don't be compelling and dragging people. I'm not evangelizing. That's not my calling here. I'm maturing the saints. You know? So I want you to understand what I'm called for. So you can invite anybody you want if they're teachable and they want to be taught. But I'm not here to debate, discuss opinions. My teaching here, and I've done it, and there's a place for it. I'm just telling you I'm not doing this now. There's place for discussion groups, and there's place for sharing. And that's all good and well. But most people don't like me instructing and giving this time because when they're wrong, I tell them they're wrong. Or I say that's not scriptural. And most people don't like that. You know, you're not supposed to offend no one. So they rather offend God and His Word, not me, because I answer for it. So that's the only thing I require of you. Everybody got that? Raise your hand. You understood me. If you want to invite anybody, what do? Give them a tape. And after 20 minutes of me, they'll either be sick of me, or they won't want to come, or the Holy Spirit says, I know you don't want to come, but you're going anyway, and you'll have enough sense to say, it don't matter what I want. What does God want? And then I'm free of my responsibility. Do you know that? I can't mature you. I can equip you. I can't make you spiritual. Only you and God can make you spiritual. I can only give you principles and foundations and spiritual insight. But you got to put it into practice, you and God. I can't do it. And nobody's going to lay hands on you and ever make you spiritual. It can't be done. It's unscriptural. So now you know. Okay. Now let's go to Hebrews. Chapter 5. I'm going to read a few scriptures up just so we'll get the context. Chapter 5, verse 9. And having been perfected, matured, completed, this is Jesus, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Did you get that part there? To all who what? People don't like that word. They like the word believe. If you understand the New Testament, they're interchangeable. To believe the gospel is to obey the gospel. And many people are believing the gospel mentally, with mental assent, and saying, Lord, Lord, and saying a little sinner's prayer and the three steps of salvation, but they're not Christians because they've not obeyed him and they've not continued in obedience. So again, you'll find the interchange, especially in Hebrews. The disobedient are those who disbelieve. Those who obey are those who believe. See, the word believe, the way we translate it and the way they understood it should have been, you believe to obey. You are committed. So if you see and understand, it means you fall into line. So that's why Jesus said it was an enigma to him. He said, why? He asked the question, why call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do what I tell you? See, he wasn't interested in mental assent, was he? He was interested in what? Lord means I'm the boss. And you are mine. And you're not your own. And I have a right to you. I redeemed you and saved you, and you're not your own anymore, and you can't live your own life if you want to serve me. That's why I said you have to take up your cross daily if you're going to stay with Jesus. And the cross is your will in opposition to God's will. It's very simple. Nothing profound about it. Okay. He said to those who obey him. He was called by God a high priest who Jesus, according to the order of Melchizedek, explained in Hebrews and in Psalms, the symbol Melchizedek, it superseded Judaism, the law, the first covenant. It superseded the priesthood of Levi, which Moses and Aaron came through. And all priests, before they could offer blood and oil and so forth, they had to be of the family of Aaron, or they could not be a priest. You know? No king could be a priest unless he was raised in a priestly family. Prophets, Nehemiah, I believe Ezra, maybe even Jeremiah, they were priestly families. They could act as though. The prophet could act as a priest without the calling because his ministry superseded the king and the priest. But it was always momentarily to set things in order. See, Moses was called a prophet, basically. Greater prophet. It's until Jesus comes. Well, Melchizedek, what was he saying, was a different priesthood called by God directly. It was the sign that Jesus would not come from Levi. He would come from Judah. And it would be a different covenant, a better covenant that didn't depend on the law and the ceremony and the washings. They were symbols. They were schoolmasters. They were for the immature as children. And then the new covenant was to bring us in to the better things. Okay, so he's telling us this, that Jesus was after that, and the symbol of Melchizedek was a never-ending priesthood. That's why it's given. It meant that Melchizedek, he came on the scene very quickly. Nobody knew much about him. Abraham, the first Jew, the friend of God, recognizes him and goes and pays tithes to him. And Melchizedek was called the king of Salem, which was Jerusalem, king of peace. He was a symbol. It says he was priest of the Most High God. But it said he had no beginning and no end. It wasn't saying that he was God. It was simply saying when God called him as a priest, he didn't look at his family line. He wasn't even a Jew. And he called him. And it says, and Abraham paid tithes to him, which meant that he was better and greater than Abraham. And so he was called because God wanted him called back then to be a symbol of what Christ would do, the better priesthood. He comes on the scene one time. He does something. He leaves. You never hear nothing about where he was born, where he came from, or how he died. See, that was the symbol. And Jesus comes on the scene who has no beginning nor no end. He does his work, and now he stands as high priest after the order of Melchizedek, a never-ending priesthood. See, that's what he's doing now, and that's what he'll do forever. See, that's what was different. So he's saying something, and he's trying to explain this, but notice something comes into play. Of whom we have much to say. Who? Jesus, not just Melchizedek. He said there's much that we need to go on in this, to teach you into the mature things and take you deeper. He said, we have much to say, but notice something happens. And hard to explain. He said, uh-oh. But look why it's hard to explain. Since you have become dull of hearing. What did they do? They became dull of hearing. These people were babes, and some of them had matured. Remember, they were under testings. These were Jewish believers who were being tested to go back to Judaism because of persecution. That's what they've been. And some of them were mature. And he said, something happened to you. He says, it's hard to explain. He didn't say that he found it difficult to understand. He meant to explain to you because you've become dull. What is he saying? You've become unspiritual now. And so I can't give you the things. The scripture says God makes the righteous man always a plain to him. See, the spiritual man, God gives insight to. He opens up. He unveils. But he says the natural man perceives not the things of God. And the babe walks in the natural realm. And the person, it goes back. He becomes dull. It means he's not hearing in the spirit anymore. You know? His ears are stopped. Same as the Laodiceans, they're not seeing clear anymore. Their eyes are becoming blind. But they once saw. See, so he's telling us there's a group here that went back. You know, they had proceeded, but they went back. And notice what he says. They became dull of hearing. Hold your place. I'll go somewhere else for just 1 minute. 2 Peter, you can hold your place to go with me. Hard to explain, he said, because you become dull. You have become dull. 2 Peter, we'll be getting into that book soon. Chapter 3, verse 16. He's speaking of Paul's epistles. And in all of his epistles, he speaks of these things which are, to some things, hard to understand. He's using the same thing. He was saying to these Hebrews who become dull of hearing, it's hard to explain to you because you have become dull. See, it was the consequence of becoming dull. He couldn't explain and take them any further. He couldn't go on with them. Something's happening. See, when you don't move on, you go back. And God can't give you anything new. And sometimes he takes what you've been given. See, this is what the scripture means when it says the sowed seed. And because they don't understand it, it says the wicked one comes and takes it away. Because they don't understand it. Well, why don't they understand it? Because they become dull of hearing. See, it's very simple once you understand it. And he explains this. It's hard to understand which those who are untaught, those who are novices, those who are ignorant. Notice what he says is going to happen. And unstable. Well, what did he say? The crippled of saints, so you would no longer be children tossed to and fro. James called it double-mindedness. Tossed as the sea. Paul called it tossed as the winds. He's saying what? He says, you're untaught and unstable, twist to their own destruction as they do all Scripture. When you are untaught and you become double-minded, don't matter whether you knew the truth or you're not, you're going to be deceived. And you're going to start twisting Scripture because you're not going to understand the real truth. That's what the Scripture means when he says he'll give you over to lying spirits. Some shall depart from the faith, true Christians, and they shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They knew God. And the word twist here is torture. They torture Scripture to get what they want to teach. You can see it so plain if you're spiritual, and they can't. And they want to believe something so bad that they make it say what they want it to say because they want something so bad. See, that's what's so dangerous. When you're willing to twist the truth because you don't like what it says, you're in a dangerous position. You've opened yourself up to a lying spirit. See, he says this is what will happen. And they will twist all Scripture to their what? Own destruction. See, once you start twisting Scripture, once you stop being taught, once you stop maturing, you've opened yourself up to head on down. You're on your way to shipwreck. And many have gone that path, and many more will. Okay, go back. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Isn't that wonderful? That's our title. He's telling these people, you become dull of hearing, you've slowed down in your Christian zeal and your obedience to God, You're being tested for your loyalty in your given way. You've been tempted to go back because it's easier sometimes. And God's saying, but I want you to sift it. I want to make sure if you're going to serve me hell or high water. That's what God's at. If you're not, you might as well go your way. See? He said, I'm going to sift you. I'll give you the strength to go on, but you're going to be tried. As the Holy Spirit says, He said, I will sift. I will take the chaff from the wheat. I will take the dross from the gold. Instead of wood, I'll give you bronze. Instead of iron, I'll give you silver. But see, if you will not, you go back. It's a dangerous thing. So He's warning them something's happening. They were in the danger of falling away, and the next part of the chapter explains it very well about despising the Spirit and falling away, and how for some there's no repentance. They've despised the Spirit of grace and trampled the blood, and God says, then I won't mess with them no more. That's what blaspheming the Holy Spirit is. That's the hopeless person. The dangerous position to trifle with truth or God. Okay, He says, by this time, He was saying what? Some of you baby Christians should be mature now. And you're not. And you're becoming dull. Uh-oh. But see, He's not complimenting them. You're becoming dull because you refuse to go on and obey God. You know, it's not you're a baby in good standing. You're a baby in bad standing. Okay? We'll keep going. There's several scriptures. But first, by this time, you ought to be teachers. And you need someone to teach you again the very first principles of the words of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. He's not complimenting them. He's disappointed in them. He's saying, you ought to be further along. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. That's what He's telling them. Okay? Hopefully they'll listen. But He says, you ought to be teachers. God is long-suffering and gracious, but even that has an end. And His patience does have a limit. Okay. How did it become dull? That's the great mystery, isn't it? Well, I'll give you a couple of reasons how they become dull. Okay, we covered one last week when we were on that other teaching. Let me hold my place. You can hold yours because we're coming back. Gospel of John, remember 14, verse 21. Remember we covered that several times. If you don't remember it, I pray the devil hasn't stole the word from you. 14:21. And he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. All baby Christians start off having His commandments. You have to be taught the commands. So you do have to study and know what the word is. But the danger is, then they don't keep it. Or they stop keeping it. That'll what will make you dull. And you can be mature and you'll become dull and backslidden. So everybody is going to have the teaching if they were true believers and true babes. But He said that was not enough. You have to have the word, and you have to do what? Keep it. It means practice it. Uh-oh. That separates the sheep from the goats a little bit, doesn't it? Okay, go to Matthew, chapter 7. You know this well as I do. Chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears, don't become dull of hearing, you hear these sayings of mine, the word of God, what I'm speaking, and does them. Okay, notice, you have it and you keep it. You hear it and you do it. I will liken him to a wise man who has built his house on a rock. A wise man is a spiritually mature Christian. You can't be wise otherwise. That we will be wise. What would you pray for? That you be filled with all spiritual wisdom. That you'll grow up. And he says, this is the wise man. He not only hears what is said, he does it. Okay, now he talks about the other group over in verse 26. Now everyone who hears these sayings knows both of them heard and had the word, because Jesus was teaching them, and does them not will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And then he says that his fall will be great. But notice both groups did what? They had the truth. So every baby Christian if he's become a Christian, has truth to some degree. Enough to go with. Enough milk to go on. But what happens is many Christians, and many of them have sat in my meetings here and other places, and they know what I'm saying, and they know Scripture, and they're mature in knowledge. But they're not wise, and they're not mature anymore, spiritually. And see, they think that knowledge is going to help them. And they can sit there and evaluate and mental assent to even true doctrine. But they become dull of hearing because they won't obey God. And yet they'll sit there and nod their head. Mm-hmm. So that's two ways. You know, one of two ways that you become dull. You have the word and you don't obey it. Or you've had the word and obeyed it and then you've fallen away. You stop obeying God because you didn't get what you wanted. See, most people who come to God don't get what they come to God for. Because he tests their loyalty. And then they're not as interested. And they don't work as hard and labor for God. And see, they reveal character to him. And you don't talk to him too much. Because he's after the true motive of their heart. Are they going to be loyal to me? God don't care if you come to him because you're in need. That's just an object that's used at the time. Let me give you a little secret. Whatever you came to God for, that was a small thing. When you go on with God, you're going to have big problems. And sometimes the problems you have when you came to God, you're going to see later on in your Christian walk were nothing compared to the problems you're going to have for serving God. Give me a little secret. You're going to suffer for serving the Lord. But you'll get grace. But you're going to suffer more if you don't. And if you're mature, you'll understand this. And you'll understand what God's saying. And you'll understand what he's after. He's after maturing. He isn't interested in everything you want. That's the furthest thing from his mind. He's interested in what he wants. You know? Okay? And when you're spiritual, you understand this. So he who hears the word and has it and hears it. Every baby Christian starts there. And some baby Christians go on to the milk of the word and grow. And some sit and listen and listen and they become dull of hearing. And yet they give you mental assent. And they can even teach it and expound on it. But God says, but you're not mature. See, that's the danger of knowledge that is not put into practice. See, knowledge puffs up. That's what Paul said. He said, if you know, you don't know enough. You don't know enough. If you think you know, it's why you're revealing you've got pride already. Knowledge produces nothing. Wisdom does. Wisdom knows how to use knowledge. So it puts the knowledge into practice. So it's not the hearers of the word who are justified before God, but the doers. So see the connection? So if you don't go on with God, you're going to happen to you what happened back to the Hebrews. You're going to become dull of hearing. You're going to open yourself up to deception. I don't care who you are. You can go to hell knowing the scripture back and forth and have walked in it like Solomon did. And Solomon did everything and sinned. And he said, and my wisdom stood with me. And he went straight to hell when he died. Scripture says his evil wives turned him from the Lord. And he worshipped idols. He even offered his baby as burnt offerings. They turned his... And he was the wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus. But you know what his flaw was? He didn't practice the wisdom he was given. He had wisdom. But he was a fool because he didn't put it into practice. But he had it. Okay? See, that's the danger for the person who goes on with the Lord. And that's what the next chapter he talks about. Some that go deep and have tasted of the power of the world to come, have gone into the deep things of God. It's as if they fall away. It's impossible to renew them. There's a place the person gets that God says, enough's enough. And the good master gets up and shuts the door. And Peter says, and it's better not to have known the way of righteousness than to know it and depart from it. The backslider goes to a greater hell than the person that hasn't heard the gospel. And the one who's gone deep with God goes to a deeper hell than the novice. For much is given, much is required. That's justice. God's never done away with justice. You want to be special? Then you have a special judgment waiting if you're not faithful. You want 10 talents? You're going to have to answer for them. That's why there should be no envy and jealousy. Be faithful to what God has given us. Okay. One more. Hebrews, since we're there. Go over to Hebrews 10. If you have the word and you hear it and you don't obey it, if you've become mature or a young man in the Lord and that you become dull, and you start to go back and you don't obey him, then let me give you this warning. Hebrews 10, I read this one for myself a lot of times. Straightens me out real quick. Chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no longer a sacrifice for sin. God is saying, when you stop walking in me, and you become dull, and you become carnal and lukewarm, I won't cover you anymore. My grace and my blood won't cover you. You've removed yourself out of my protection. You're not in the Spirit no more. You put yourself back under condemnation. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Read the whole chapter. It meant those who walk in the Spirit and live. Didn't mean those who began. So he's saying what? There remains no more sacrifice for the backslider and for the one who doesn't want. See, people think, well, I just don't want to go deep. That says then you'll go to hell. You don't choose whether you're a 30-fold Christian or 60. You just happen to be there. You don't sit down and say, God gave us a perfect example. Jesus said, look at the unprofitable servant. He was given one talent, one ability. And he buried it. And he had to answer to God. And when God comes and says, what have you gained? And remember, one guy was given 10 and he gained 10. And one was given 5 and he gained 5. And he took this one man who only had one ability. Every mature Christian has an ability because God's called him to do something. Use him more than one thing. So I know my ability, and my calling is to teach and exhort you, and that's what I'm going to answer for. I know I'm going to answer for that, regardless of whatever else I'm going to answer for. Okay? But he said what? He buried it. He didn't use it, and he was equipped. He was equipped, and he did not use it. He was given ability, and he did not use it. And God said, what have you gotten? And he said, well, I buried it. And then he insults the king. I knew that you're a hard person. He says this about God. I knew you're a hard person. And you labor and sow where you've not really done anything. You reap where you've not labored. He was actually trying to put a trip on God. But notice he was given ability. And he tried to excuse himself and blame the master. But see, it didn't work. And he said to you, he says, you wicked servant. At least you should have done is put it in the bank and brought a little interest. What is God looking for? Fruit. He said, but you brought me nothing. You're an unprofitable servant. And he said, take it from him and cast this man into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's God's attitude toward the backslider and the one who becomes unprofitable. That's what Jesus taught about when he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, my Father will cut it off and burn it. See, because if you abide in Jesus, he said, I'll give you everything you need to bear fruit. He gave the man what he needed, and all required was him to be faithful in this one thing, and he wouldn't do it. He says, you're wicked. You did not submit to me as Lord, and therefore you're unprofitable, and I'll cast you out into outer darkness. The principle still applies. Okay, so if we sin willfully, if we keep the word here is not an individual sin. It means the practicing like John. If we continue in disobedience to God's Holy Spirit when he's trying to deal with us long enough, and we've had knowledge and we've had truth. He said, not only will we not be under the blood anymore and protected by the Spirit of grace, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, a fiery indignation which will devour the adversary. He's saying you will become God's enemy and you will be treated accordingly. Well, we know where all God's enemies are going. So see, he's given the warning. So we need to take it. That's what exhortation does. It warns and admonishes. When people don't like warning and admonishment, they're already on their way to hell. There's really not much hope for them. Okay, moving along. Back to Hebrews 5. For not only, he says, should you be teachers by now, but you can't. You have to have milk now. You can't eat mature things, he's saying. Something has to be done. That's what the scripture means when it says, go back and do your first works over. Go back and find out why you got dull. Go find out why you stopped obeying God. That's where you need to go back. You know? And find out whether he's saying, well, I'll punish you for it, or we'll go around this mountain again. That's his option, not yours. I've known people who were called of God for ministry, to preach, and they fought God and backslid. And years later, they come back to God, and I've known some that God says, well, if you come back to me, you can preach. No, they didn't come back, and some of them did. And some come back and he says, I don't need you to preach anymore. You forfeited that. I'll find something else for you to do. See, that's the symbol of Israel on the wheel. He said, and he was marred in my hand, so I made another work. God can redeem, but he can't always do what he originally intended to do if we stall and we delay. He's not going to make an apostle out of someone who just got saved at 99. He's got one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peeling. He doesn't have time. It takes years. So that's why he calls some Christians when they're young and tries to prepare them for 10 and 20 years, and they don't listen and they don't fall into line. So somewhere along the line, he punishes them and chastens them. And if they don't rebel and fall away, then he says, then I'll find something else for you to do. So you can get God's second best, but it's his choice, not yours. You don't come to God saying, well, here's the rules I'm going to play by. He says, no, here's the rules you're going to play by. See, that's his choice. And only wisdom and maturity can tell you this. No one else can. Okay? And notice what he says. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You're still unskillful. It means what? You're not very profitable. You've not qualified. You're not empowered to minister the word because you're not mature. You're still childish. You're still a baby. You're carnal and walk as men. So he's telling us that's what happens. You're no use really to my kingdom. But that's why he wants the obedient babe just to grow in the milk. He doesn't say, hey, go out and move mountains and raise the dead. Just drink the milk. Just study and apply yourself at the level you're at, and I'll give you more later. See? You're not going to move mountains, people, until you've moved a few molehills. You know? You're not going to pray the bark off of trees until you've prayed it off of a peach. See? God don't work that way. A little here, a little there, line upon line. You're not going to be spiritual because God gifts you. You're going to be gifted because you're spiritual. You're not going to get more faith because you ask. You can get more faith because your faith is tried. And you prove loyal, so he gives more. That's the principle of trying to tell you the kingdom. To him it is given, more is given. And him that is not faithful what is given, even that shall be taken from him. That's the danger. Okay, and notice what he says. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, who are mature. It's those who by reasons of use, by experience, have their senses, their spiritual senses, exercised, trained to discern both good and evil. The immature and the babe can't discern false teachers and false teachings because he don't know Scripture and he's not open to the Holy Spirit. He's gullible. He's tossed to and fro. He believes every new thing that comes along. The novice and the baby Christian is just like the four-year-old child, you see. All of a sudden he runs and he plays with the little truck. And then 1 minute later, he throws that aside and he sees this ball and he runs and he plays with that. He's never satisfied. Whatever new thing comes along, that's what he wants. But see, in the kingdom, Paul said we should not be children, but grow up. We're to be childlike, not childish. Childlike in humility, not childish. That's what Paul said, grow up. When a child, he said, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But now that I become a man, I put away childish things. It's time people put away childish things. And this is why babes sometimes can't go on with Christ. And yet they have the knowledge. And they have the ability. And they've been given the talent. But they still love themselves too much and they won't go to the cross. They're still excusing themselves when God is not. See? And that's why you can have knowledge and not be spiritual. And you can quote Scripture and you might know it better than anybody you know. And you're still immature. Because your old man and your old woman gets in the way. And you won't obey God. So it's not only to have His Word, we have to obey it. And when we obey it, we mature. And when we disobey it, we get dull. It's a simple principle if people will understand it. How much time we have? Oh my gracious. Well, we'll just see. I don't think I can go that far. Let's go on. 2 Timothy. We don't have a longer tape. 2 Timothy 2:14. Six things you're going to see here. Six that I found. You might find more. That happens to people who aren't mature and who don't know God's Word and who don't stay in it. Look at verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive or debate about words to no profit. This means if it's not scriptural, you know what heresy is? It's something people find and add or take from Scripture that's not in Scripture. That's the kind of stuff avoid. I don't know what example to give you right now. Maybe, how many angels can dance on the end of a pin? Who cares? You know? All these silly things. They have nothing to do. This knowledge that doesn't produce spirituality is what it's saying. Anything that you're learning about the Bible that ain't making you practical to God's Lordship and mature and you're laid aside. I don't care what it is. Even knowledge of the Bible. You don't need to be remembering who the kings of Israel are if you're not obeying God. Remember what the kings of Israel didn't do. They didn't obey God. That's what you ought to be remembering. God may let you slide because you can't remember their names. Okay? I'll give you one in a minute and you'll get my point. Okay? He says, don't argue and debate. I told you that's why I don't do this. I used to do it when I was ignorant. Don't strive about words that do not profit. It means they don't produce anything spiritual. They don't cause people to live holy or go on with the Lord. They just cause people to debate about some information that don't matter to your soul and destiny, okay? I don't care if God comes at the beginning, the end, or the middle. I just hope He gets me when He comes. That's the important thing, isn't it? It isn't whether you are raptured or whether you died. It's when He comes for you, you're ready to go. That's the important thing. We might be wrong on what we think. But if you're ready, you'll go. Because you'll hear the trumpet. And if you ain't, it don't matter what you believe and know, you ain't going. It's very simple. Okay? No profit. We're not to argue and debate people over this. Why? To the ruin of the hearers. Unprofitable teaching ruins people spiritually. That's why I don't listen to it. That's why I tell you, when I believe someone's off in a major teaching, and they could be right on 19 of them, I don't read anything they read. They're right. I'm not interested in them. If they've missed the foundation, if they're teaching damnable teachings, I don't want to hear anything they have to say. They ain't going to help me. Okay, we're going to be in this next week, so I can slow down now, huh? Okay, to the ruin of the hearers. So first of all, what? It's not profitable, and it ruins people. It's spiritual ruin. That's what bad teaching does. And you have people say, well, love and unity is the most important thing. Let's lay aside doctrine. Lay aside doctrine, you're going to end up in hell. Love and unity is based on truth and God's Word. And that's the only thing it's based on. If it's love and unity of any other sort, it's a false teaching. It's a doctrine of the devil. I'm not going to call a practicing Roman Catholic, a Mormon, or a liberal Protestant, or a backslider, my brethren, and I cannot be in unity with him. Because God is not in unity with him. Okay? Did you get that? Go on. Be diligent. Some say study. Some say put forth an effort. What it simply means is be serious. Take it seriously. What? The Word of God. To present yourself approved to God. You ain't got to worry about other people approve you. You better care whether God approves you. A workman who does not need to be disappointed, ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And you're not going to do this unless you mature. You're not going to rightly handle. And who do you want to be approved? He's already said, before the Lord. You won't be ashamed. It means when the Lord comes, the word is disappointed and cast aside is what it means. That's why John said, if he's pure, you keep yourself pure. So when he comes, you won't be ashamed. If you're ashamed that the Lord's coming, it means you're going to be cast into hell. You're not going to be said, good servant, well done. You're going to say, you unprofitable, you evil servant. See, same thing. That's why he's saying, you better make sure when you study Scripture and you mature, then God will approve you. And he will verify what he's called you for. And you'll understand not only what you're supposed to do, but where your duty lies. You know? And what you have to answer for. And there's a peace in that. And you don't have to be everything to everybody. And you recognize you're not the whole church and you don't have all the ministries. But you understand what you have. And if it's just one talent or two or three, then you understand. And God gives you the ability to discern his will. And nobody can put a trip on you. Oh, people may say you're opinionated. You better be opinionated when it comes to what God called you to do. I hear too many people say, well, when I hope, well, I hope when I get and meet God, I hope I did His will. I say, well, that hope is vain. I don't want to live 20 years in hope. Paul said, I have run the race, and I know what I've called for and what's laid up for me. And Peter said the same, and we better know the same.